Stand with me, take your Bibles, and turn to John chapter 15. I'll start with, last week was part one. If you missed it, you can get it at our website, ibcspokanevalley.org. You can go through and find last Sunday morning's service and listen to it if you missed it. So John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this message today. Thank you for giving it to me and that giving me the ability to deliver it. And I just pray, Father, this morning that you would give me the words to preach, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you would give me boldness this morning to proclaim your word. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish through it. Your word tells us that your word will not return unto you void. So I know it's going to go out and accomplish that which it sent forth to do. I pray, Father, it will penetrate our hearts now, draw us closer to you, and increase our faith. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So last week we looked at there were three elements, the vine, the branches, and the fruit. We looked at there was three things that we consciously have to do, and those three things, the first two we looked at last week, first one was rely on His strength. Remember I said stay connected to Him, so you have His strength available. So that's the first thing. The second thing was receive His Word. It's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to receive it in our hearts. So receive His Word, and then today we're going to look at relinquish to His will. Relinquish to His will. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? Well, first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to understand that if we're going to surrender to His will, we have to be willing to do it, right? We have to be willing to do His will. And so relinquish to His will. John 15, 10, verse 10, just a little further down from our, says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We need to learn to surrender in advance of knowing what His will is. Wow. That's like saying, I'm going to do whatever you ask me, even though I don't know what that might be. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say to God, whatever it is that you want for my life, I'm willing to surrender to you? It's difficult to do that. Because that's like a blank check, right? That's like saying, God, whatever it is. And people say, well, He might call me to the mission field. He might call me to preach. He might call me to teach a Sunday school class. He might call me to lead a vacation Bible school. He might call you to do just about anything. Are you willing to submit, surrendering to God without knowing what that is? If we believe His Word, God only wants what's best for us, right? If we believe His Word, He says that He will equip those who He calls. So do we have an excuse to say, no, I won't be willing to surrender without knowing? If He's going to give us the ability to do it, then I don't see a problem, right? And it's easier to say that after you fought with God and lost, right? It's easier to do that because you know what the outcome was. You got to go anyway, whether you liked it or not. I always say you can go kicking and screaming or you can go willingly. One way or the other, you're going, right? We say, show me your will and I'll get back to you, right? God, show me what your will for my life is and I'll get back to you. After I've talked to everybody I know, after I've contemplated all the pros and cons, after I've, we take this human side to things and say, God, first I have to weigh it all out and then I'll let you know. Only most of the time we say, show me your will and I'll get back to you later, with no intention of getting back to him later. And so we have to understand that God wants us to submit without knowing what it is. God wants us to work without a net. You ever seen those high wire people? Yeah, there is no way. First of all, I don't like being that far off the ground to begin with. It's all I mean, I'm not even happy getting on a 6-foot ladder these days anymore. I used to get up on roofs and do that stuff and all. I don't want to leave the ground. I want my feet on solid ground, right? But I wouldn't want to be anywhere that high up if there wasn't a net to catch me, right? Just wouldn't want to do that. But God says he wants us to work without a net, without that net. So he doesn't reveal his will to us so that we can consider it, but he reveals his will to us so that we can obey it. There's a difference. There's a huge difference there, right? So first thing we need is to look at is the fruit. The fruit. There's a progression in this passage from no fruit to fruit, to more fruit, to much fruit. It's a progression. And as we go through our Christian walk, we should be progressing, right? I mean, at first, we're probably not producing fruit. But then we should have some fruit. Then we should have more fruit. And then we should have much fruit, right? There should be a progress. If we stay at the no fruit stage, we're not growing, are we? We're not doing anything. There should be some fruit. Now, people all think fruit is only when someone gets saved, right? No, there's some fruit. There is some fruit showing when you share the gospel with someone. May not have been ready, but there's some fruits to those works, right? There's some people that believe that I can't talk to them, they're scary. I mean, look at them. Look at how big they are. I mean, what if they don't like me? They might just pounce me into the ground. Are we trusting in his strength? That was our first thing last week. Trust it. Rely on his strength, right? Does it matter how big they are? My dad had a saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I thought, since I'm so little, I guess that's a good thing to remember, right? So, one of those things, but we need to be willing to rely on his strength and not be afraid of people because they look intimidating. And some people are intimidating. But we need to get over that. But there's this progression here. The purging is a pruning so that more sap can flow out to the branches so that there can be more fruit, more fruit. When the branch truly abides in the vine, it bears much fruit. Much fruit. If the branches could speak, you ever been out there trimming those branches? I mentioned that last week, right? Trimming off some branches. I cut up a few yesterday. And if those branches could talk, what would they say? Probably, ouch, right? It hurts to be cut. Hurts to be pruned back. Well, God sometimes needs us to be pruned so that we can bring forth more fruit. Bring forth more fruit. We have to look at it. There's a great cause here, right? Remember? What did David say? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? This is a great cause. And we need to be willing. We shouldn't be afraid to go out on the limb, because that's where the fruit is. That's where the fruit is. You need to understand that. What fruits does God expect from us as the branch? What fruit does He expect from us? First one is He expects us to be out there sharing the gospel with people. We call it soul winning, right? He expects us to share the gospel with other people. I don't know about you, but I heard the gospel from somebody who cared about where I was going to spend eternity. And then I ended up getting saved. Didn't get saved the first time. I'd like to say it was the second, but it probably was about the 100th. Or maybe even the 1,000th. I don't remember exactly. But I had been in church. I had been going to Sunday school classes. I'd been in vacation Bible school. I'd gone to church camp. I'd done all of those things. It's a little thicker than it looks, maybe. And finally, it didn't have to penetrate here. It had to penetrate here. And then I understood what I needed. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But somebody cared enough about me to share the gospel with me. Somebody cared enough about me to invite me to church. I'll never forget the day I was riding my bike. I was 12 years old, riding my bike down the street. The neighbor lady came out and she said, you're new in the neighborhood. I said, yeah, I just live right down here on the other side of the Martins. They're my grandparents. And she said, oh, do you go to church? I said, no, but I'd like to. Didn't know much about church. I'd been to church in the past, but I hadn't been for years. I'd like to. Let me go ask my mom. Went home and asked my mom, and she said, sure, you can go to church. So Sunday morning, not only I went to church, but my mom went to church, and my siblings all went to church. Thought, this is pretty cool. And then we got to going every week. It was something we did. You didn't wake up in the morning and say, Mom, are we going to church today? No, if it was Sunday morning, we were in church. And so we went to church. And over time, I heard the gospel enough times, it penetrated my heart, and I got saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But somebody cared enough to invite. Some people say, well, I got to invite them to church because then they can hear from the pastor and I don't have to talk to them, right? Not necessarily, but it'll help if you get them into church, right? So, what are Christians supposed to produce? Christians, right? I mean, it makes sense. You don't plant an apple tree and expect to get oranges, right? Apples produce apples, oranges produce oranges. It's the way it works. So Christians should produce Christians. And the good shepherd expects his sheep to reproduce. We're supposed to. In John chapter 4, verses 35 through 36, it says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Yeah. You know, I don't look at every time I go out and share the gospel with somebody that they're going to get saved right then. But I do at least attempt to plant the seed. Somebody else will come along and water it. Somebody else might actually see the fruit of all that. It's not our job to worry about saving them. It's our job to point them in the right direction. It's our job to share Jesus with them. It's God's job to bring the increase. It's what He does. Can you save anyone? I can't. But Jesus can. Anyone who comes. When's the last time you sat face to face with someone? and told them about Jesus Christ, told them how they could get saved. It's harder right now, isn't it?
Whatever you do, don't get too close to anyone, right?
Folks, that's Satan's way of trying to get people separated so they don't share the gospel with one another. Yeah. And I have to tell you, it's become pretty effective. In fact, it's become effective that most of our churches are even shut down or across the United States of America. And in Canada and several other places, right? Why? Because the whole goal is to stop Christianity from spreading. People go, that's not true. What are they trying to shut down? Churches? Communication one-on-one? All of that stuff they're trying to eliminate. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to reproduce. The fruit we leave up to God. Only He can give the increase, as I said. But are we delivering the truth? There's a lot of false stuff out there. I mean, Brother Dirk's going through the stuff where we got the, what I call the perversions of the Word of God, where they came from and all. And it was all in an attempt to water down the gospel, to eliminate the deity of Christ. If you can prove that Christ is not God, then salvation is gone, right? Because He had to die to wash away our sins. So it's straight from the pits of hell. Satan himself is behind it. Ultimately, our job is to abide in the vine. The point is, it is hard to imagine being close to Jesus, reaping His many benefits, and not wanting to share. Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but God has just richly blessed my life. Why would I not want to share that? Why wouldn't I want others to be blessed too? Of course, our human nature comes out and says, why is God blessing them? Why didn't He give me that? Right? Because we're selfish, self-centered. But that's not the... Our desire should be that God would bless others too. And so, why would we not want them to have that relationship that we have with Him? Think of this. Who will be in heaven one day and will approach you, and I'm talking in a human sense here, because I'm sure this isn't actually going to take place, but who's going to approach you in heaven and say, thank you for what you did for me. I'm here today because you shared. I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't think of anyone at all that you shared the gospel with, that you know is going to heaven, maybe you shouldn't give up yet. Maybe you shouldn't give up yet. There's a hymn out there. Must I go in empty-handed? Yeah, it's pretty sad. Must I go in empty-handed? Now, there's some people that are just what we'd call born soul winners, right? They're leading thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Christ, right? You hear them all the time, right? They have a big revival crusade or something, and 50,000 people got saved, and not one of them is in church on Sunday, right? But there are some people that do lead a lot of people to Christ. They just do. There's some people that might only lead a few. It's okay. Just don't give up. Don't say, I got my one. Now, the old story of each one would reach one, we could reach the entire world in no time. But we're not doing that. So, the number two is holiness. Holiness. Romans 6:22. It's Romans 6, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. This tells me that holiness is not a jacket that I put on, right? It's not something that I just, all of a sudden, I put on my jacket and I've got holiness, right? That's not how that works. It is something I work up from within. I mean, it's not something I work up from within. It's the natural fruit which is produced when I abide in the vine. There's a lot of people that try to work up holiness from within. We call them imposters, right? Because they're trying to be something that they're not. They're an imposter. No apple tree strains to produce apples. Just doesn't. They're just the natural cycle. Apple trees produce apples. And sometimes they produce tons of apples, right? I mean, you got more apples than you know what to do with sometimes. But it just happens. When holiness is produced on the inside, it will make its way out. When it's produced on the inside, it's going to work its way out. We don't have to worry about that. The temptation will be to manufacture it outwardly in order to prove that it is inward. And that's when we have a problem. Because it will manufacture it to make it look like it's there even when it's not. Who you are on the inside does make its way out. Remember, the Bible tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's in does eventually come out. The same thing holds true with, if that holiness is in, it's going to work itself out. Just happens. Now, there are standards in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that there's Bible standards, and we preach those things and all of that. But what is the motive of our heart? What is the motive of our heart? And how are those outward standards rooted in the inner man? Do you truly believe them? I mean, we can say all day long that we believe the Bible, right? Are we living it? If we believe it to be true, are we living it? If we're not living it, it's not showing that we believe it, right? Because if we believed it, we would live it. Sounds too simple, doesn't it? Doesn't it just sound simple? If we believed it, we'd live it. But it's so hard. How is it so hard when we rely on His strength? It's not our strength, it's His. And I believe the Bible, when it says all power is given unto Him in heaven and in earth, sounds like He has all the strength that even we need. Now, we stay connected to the vine, we have that available to us. Sin starts in the heart and it does bore its way out. It starts there and it comes out. And the same is true with holiness. It's in the heart, it's going to come out. And yes, it will affect our walk. It will affect our talk. It will affect our appearance. It will affect our standards of living. And it will affect how we treat others. If it's in, it's going to come out. Then we have number 3, the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Christian character. We had a president, several presidents back, that said character didn't matter. I got news for you. Character does matter. Character does matter. And when they say character doesn't matter, you know to flee from what they're saying, because it's wrong. But abiding in the vine of Christ fills us with the Spirit, which bears fruit. If you are abiding in Christ, if you are filled with the Spirit, will be evident in these ways, which is summed up in the word character. Character. What is on the inside comes out, no matter what. I'll tell you what, no one can ever make you explode with anger. But if it's in there, it's coming out, right? I have this habit. I let things slide, and I let things slide, and I let things slide, and pretty soon it just builds and builds and builds, and pretty soon it's like the volcano. It just erupts. And if you ask my wife, she'll tell you over the years I've gotten a lot better at that. But it used to be, I'm Irish. Enough said, right? So the temper would come out. And I didn't like that. I didn't like it when I'd blow up. So now I'm working with the Word of God and saying, you know, just let that just roll off. Get over it, right? The venom you inject into someone close by is the outward fruit of what's inside. Get this. Hurt people. It's the way it works. But the fruit of our salvation is good works here. So good works is our next one, number four. Colossians 1:10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We should be increasing in the knowledge of God, right? Part of what we need to do. We all know that works are not the root of our salvation. If you don't know that, you haven't been listening. Because I'm very adamant about it is not works that saves us. However, our salvation will produce works. You got to get it in the right order. We put a lot of effort into proclaiming that truth, so none get the idea that you need to be good in order to go to heaven, because it's just not the way it works. But the fruit of our salvation is good works. We're going to do good works because of the fruit of our salvation. Now, the presence of good works is not proof of salvation. That can be manufactured as well as outward counterfeit. There's some people who I believe wholeheartedly, because I've seen them actually walk the aisle after they told me they were saved, and I believe they were saved. They came down and they got saved. And afterwards I said, I was here the first time you did that. I was here when you got baptized. Well, when you got wet. Because if you weren't saved, you didn't get baptized, you just got wet. But now you're doing it again. And every one of them that I've talked to afterwards has said this, I thought I was saved. Then the Word of God penetrated my heart and I realized I was lost and needed to get saved. And I said, praise God. Right? Praise God. Praise God that people are not ashamed to walk the aisle a second time and get saved for the first time. We need to make sure. Though I say the presence of good works does not prove salvation, the absence of good works is a strong indication of being lost. We shall know by their fruit, right? They'll say, well, you can't judge them. I can inspect. The Bible says I'm to be a fruit inspector. You shall know by their fruit or fruits, right? So yes, we have to know those things. We have to know those things. The fruit of soul winning, holiness in the Spirit, then good works. And number five is praise. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Abiding in Christ will manifest itself in praise. Yeah. If we are abiding in Christ, we will praise him. It just naturally comes out. It is a fruit that grows on the branch that remains connected to Christ. Then the grumbling, moaning, groaning, critical, griping Christian will undergo a radical makeover in heaven. Why? Why? Because they will be so attached to the vine like they have never been before, right? Can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven? We're going to be so engrafted in that. There isn't going to be any groaning and griping and complaining and moaning and groaning and all that stuff that God does not like. It's not going to be there. I think Christians have perfected the moaning and the groaning and the whining and complaining quite a bit. But we're going to have a radical makeover, because when we're in heaven, there isn't going to be any of that going on. Psalm 22:3, it says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Does he really inhabit us when we praise? Does he really? Or do we praise because he inhabits us? Yeah. And through close connection, pours in that praise like warm sap into the branch. This gives us an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Happy thanks living, right? Happy thanks living. In every situation we find God's presence and His providence working all together for good, and even bad things lead us back to Him. With the fruit of our lips being praise and not just our complaints, which seem to make up 95% of our prayer lives. But praise. Praise Him. Yeah. Prayer is effectual. In John 15:7, it says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." And that leads to fruit perpetual in John 15:8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." And that leads to joy celestial in John 15:11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." We can have joy. Unspeakable, right? We can have so much joy if we want it. Imagine your prayer life being as much praise as prayer requests. Praising as much as prayer requests. Imagine after just thinking on our awesome God, praising Him and abiding in such a place of worship and adoration of how great and grand He is, that you then turn to your complaints and they seem so small. We praise Him so much that our complaints are like minuscule, right? Yet, you still share your heart, right? Because that's what God wants. We still share with Him what's going on in our lives because that's what He wants. He cares about those little things. Keep in mind, nothing is too big for God to begin with, but He cares about these little things in our life. He cares about them because He is connected to us. He loves us and He wants to bless us. He wants to do those things. I can't explain why God loves us so much. I look at us, I look at me, my life, and I think, why? I know who I am. Why does He love me so much? But He does. And He loves you too. And He wants to bless you. God the Father is the husbandman. He has the right to inspect and expect fruit. Yeah. He has the right to inspect our life. He has the right to expect some fruit. That's why He left us here, right? So that we can share with others. It's the job of parents to be the example for the children and show them the way. It's the job of those kids to raise up have children and show them the way. You know what the problem is? We've had a break in that, so they're not doing that anymore. Children are no longer raising up children and teaching them about God. There's been a disconnect. And Satan is thrilled. Yet still, you share your heart because God cares about those little things. Cares about those. God the Father is the husbandman, as I said. He left us here so that we could be out sharing the gospel with others. Holiness, because he said, "Be holy, for I am holy, and you are connected to me." And then his Spirit will lead you to good works and praise. And praise. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. Dare you to ask God to prune you? Dare you? Ask God to prune you. Yeah. But don't do it if you don't mean it. Because if you ask God to prune you, he's going to. Anybody want to just say to God, "Do whatever it takes for me to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit"? Remember, that's, as I said earlier, a blank check. When you say, "Do whatever it takes," it's a blank check. And God will use it. So be ready. Be ready. But we need to abide in him. The ultimate thing is to abide in him. Do not get cut off and discarded. Because we learned last week, what happens to all that? It gets burned up, right? Brother Fred took that tree that got cut down, and all... anybody noticed in the parking lot, it's got that nice clean look again because it's all that's gone. What's Brother Fred going to do with that? He's going to burn it. It's going to all be burned up. Because what good is it? After it's been all cut down and put in small enough pieces to go on the trailer and all, what good is it? It's going to be burned up. Let's stay connected. Let's stay abiding in Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word. Father, abiding in you is the best thing that we could be doing. Spending time with you. Spending time in your word. Then there will be those works. Not because for our salvation, but because of our salvation, we'll have these good works. We'll be sharing what you've done for us with others. And praying that others too would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray today would be that day. Father, for Christians, if we got so we're not abiding, we need to get reconnected. We need to get reconnected to the vine. We thank you for the opportunities that you give us for that. So, Father, again, during this time of invitation, we'll turn it over to you. No one comes, and we'll close. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able as the piano plays this morning. If you need to come, again, God's altar is